Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
How many brought your Bible with you today? Okay, this is not First Church. This is a church on fire. Somebody say amen. We bring our Bibles to church. Amen. There's some churches that don't. That's amazing. But we bring our Bibles to church. I hope you brought yours today because it's everything you need is found in the Word of God today. And we're going to plumb it and get into there today and do our very best to bring out God's faithful Word into us. So let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds very good. All right, let's open our scriptures to the book of, I believe I'm in the book of Mark. Let me shake it and move it around here. I'm in the book of Mark chapter 5, and let's move that direction. Mark chapter 5. I just began last Sunday, just a few minutes, introducing our subject today. And we've looked into the word of the Lord, and we found a lot of things in scripture. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible says the same thing about the Father God in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord God, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so we find that we have the same kind of God that we have always had. Whenever you look and you see what God did in the Bible, how he lived in the Bible, how he operated in the Bible, you can expect God to be exactly the same way today, doing the same things that he's always done. Don't listen to this group of folks that are out there preaching a heretical doctrine called cessationism where they say that God no longer does what he used to do. It's amazing how that's gaining a little bit of strength here in America, that false doctrine. So don't get it. Our God is alive. Somebody say amen. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. And so as we look at scripture, we find that God's like he always has been. But then on the other hand, we look and we see folks sometimes, we have needs in our life, different prayer requests and things that are going on in our life where we're approaching God, and some folks receive and see, like some folks don't. And so what we're trying to address today is to get us to that place of receiving all the time. We sing the song, I'm standing on the promises of God. We believe it every chapter, every verse, and every line. It's all ours. It's all true, and it all works in our life when we do it the way that God tells us to do it. I mean, with a solemn guarantee, God's word will never fail you. God will never let you down. Somebody shout hallelujah about that. Amen? He won't. He won't let you down. The word will never fail you. It never, ever, ever, ever will. And so, we're sort of talking along that lines. I looked at a story, and you could look at this in a lot of different ways. This particular story is talking about a woman that has a need of healing in her life. Physical, real healing. It's not a, you know, just a joke. It's not a religious exercise. She really, 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 really does have a physical problem. And she really, really, really does come to God with that physical problem. And God heals her the physical problem. And she has the physical problem no more. It's over with. It's a thing of the past. It is done. And so when we look at this story, it is talking about physical healing. Really, really is. But we can look at the principles that we find that apply to this lady's healing here that we're looking at, and you can apply them other things in your life. You can apply them to your relationship in life. You can apply them to family connections. You can apply them to what you're thinking about. You can apply it to how you're living and whether you're progressing in your life or not. You can apply it to a lot of different places in your life. So we look for the principles, that eternal truths that we lift out, and we live our lives like that. You know what? We begin getting the same same thing they get. It works for us exactly like it works for them. And so we're going to look at that today. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. The Bible says, a certain woman, not a parable, not a story. This is something that really did happen. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things and many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And we went into this in some detail last week. But verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in herself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see the multitude around you just thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Notice that again, verse 34. Your faith, daughter, your faith, your faith, your faith. And if he's talking about her faith, when I look at this story, I'm thinking about my faith, my faith. My faith that God has given me, your faith that God has given you. You have within you this super-powered weapon on the inside of you. We could call it faith, and it's there just waiting for you to use it and exercise it. You've got it right now. You've got faith. I've got faith. She had faith. It was her faith that brought her this healing. In fact, it made her whole. It healed her to the point 12 years now become historical. There is no more issue of blood. It's over. Her body knows it. The Bible says she felt it in her body. She felt it after she said and after she touched him. Then she did the feeling. After that. And she felt in her body she was whole of that plague. No more. You don't have to live with sickness and disease in your body. You don't have to live with sickness and disease in your body. Let's try it another time. You don't have to live with sickness and disease in your body. No, we don't have to live with sickness. No, you got to get to that place. I'm not living this way. I'm not living like that. No, devil, in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ took my healing upon his back and his stripes upon the cross. And what he bore for me once, I need not bear twice. I am healed in Jesus' name, just like the Bible says. Amen? That's where we're at. And you have to become violent. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence, take it by force. It won't happen for you just because you just live your life in a la-di-da way and go through life never, never being proactive about the things of God. It won't happen for you that way. You have to do what the scripture says and walk in obedience to what Jesus has given us. That's what we're learning from this little woman here today that's had this issue of blood. So then, let's start it out. Number one. Very simple. It's the title of what I've entitled my message. If they want to go ahead and put the overhead up there. I don't see it up there right now. Maybe they are. But your faith can make you whole. Everybody say, my faith can make me whole. My faith can make me whole. Do you mean to tell me that my faith can make me whole? Do I mean to say that my faith can heal me and heal my eyes to where I don't have to wear glasses anymore? It did in February the 4th of 1980. Yes, your faith can heal your eyes. Do you mean to tell me that your faith can will work in my body and it can deliver you from cancer? Yes, absolutely. You mean your faith can free you from sugar diabetes? Absolutely. You think your faith can bring healing into your body when you've injured yourself? Like I did that in a couple weeks ago, that meniscus tear. Yes, it does. It works. My faith can really, really, really make me whole. And that's one reason we spend a lot of time talking about faith. It is such a powerful force of Almighty God, and the things it can do can give you a life that people just dream about. And you can have it through the power of faith. If her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. If her faith made her whole, my faith can make me whole. We read in Scripture, there's two things we can look at. Why are we studying about her? Well, one, she was successful. If you want to know how to get something, study someone who's got it. If you wanted to know how to lose weight, it'd be a good idea to, you know, talk to somebody that's actually lost it. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes you see these commercials on television, and they got these 18, 19 years old on. They've never been a pound overweight in their life. You know, and they're out there in the gym and doing this, that, and the other. They hadn't been a pound overweight in their life. But anyway, and they'll do a trick. They do a trick on some of those things. They will do the advertising. They'll show you a person, and then what they actually will do was film this 18, 19-year-old, and then for the next year, they will feed them like you wouldn't believe. They will gain 40, 50 pounds and then take that picture of them. And so that they'll have both of them in there, and they'll reverse it and say, this is how they lost the weight. And they're faking you out. I mean, it is incredible. But if you find someone that really had an issue with weight and some problems in weight and they lost some weight, and hey, talk to them. They're the people to talk to. They're the people to address. They know what's going on. If you find somebody financially that's doing well financially with money and they're millionaires, and that kind of, talk to them. Talk to them. That's the thing to do. Listen to them. And then do what they did. And you can have what they have. And so all of it works that same way. And so this woman, she got healing. And so if you want to know how to healing, look at her, read her. Those little verses of scripture I read to you, if I were in a need of healing in my life, I would look at those things. I'd read those things day and night. I'd have it all memorized. It'd be who I was. I mean, you know, I wouldn't even think any other kind of way, look at anything. I'd be into the thing, and I'd be filled and saturated with that thing. I mean, I'd be overcome with it until that story would be my story. And so we look at her and we study her because she's successful. Another reason, when I think about it this way too, is Jesus said to her, woman, your faith has made you whole. Jesus commended her. And anybody Jesus likes, I like. Somebody say amen. Anybody Jesus commends, hey, I want to hear them. They got a top spot in my audience when Jesus says, hey, they did it the right way, and this is what happened for them. And so that's why we're studying. So this certain woman, she's got this issue of blood. She's there. She suffered many things than many physicians. It's not wrong to go to the doctor. You don't go to hell for going to the doctor. It's not wrong doing that. Not wrong for taking medicine. It's not wrong. You know, whatever. If you're sick and you're hurting, everybody wants you well. And we want you well. And if doctors help you get well, fine. If medicines help you get well, fine. All that's great, good, grand, glorious. We all for that. Nobody is against any of that. Everything that makes you better and makes you whole and makes you well, the Bible is all for it. The Bible says that laughter is like a good medicine, and so it commends it like that. And so in Scripture, think about it like that way, that God wants me well. He wants me healed. He wants me whole. But now here is a way. She did everything the doctor told her to do and didn't make her any better. She took every pill they put in front of her and it didn't make any better. She got every shot. She did the whole thing. Nothing helped her. In fact, she got worse and worse and worse. Until finally now she's come to Jesus. And so come to Jesus anytime, every time you need something from God. But don't let it be the last time. Don't wait till everything is just gone and you have no other earthly, you know, opportunities. Come to Him first off. Very first in your life, approach the Lord first. Any sign that you might see something going wrong in your physical body, any issue that might be there, then go to Him first and begin talking to Him very first in your life. Now, turn with me in the Bible to Romans chapter 2. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 11. As Paul is talking about people who, you know, are judging other people, he said, you people judging other people, you're doing the same stuff in your life. And he's really letting them know that it's just a fair deal with God when you come before God. In fact, I might even just read that. Look in Romans chapter 2 and look verse 1. Paul says this in Romans 2, and he said, therefore you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges someone else, wherefore that you judge, you condemn yourself. Most people blame other people for what it is they're doing themselves. That's sort of what he's saying. And then he says, for you're judging, you're doing the same things. You're doing the same things you're calling other people out on. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, according to them which commit such things. And do you think this, O man, that you judge them which do such thing, and you do the same thing, and you shall escape the judgment of God? No, you're not escaping either. You do the wrong, you suffer the wrong. You do the wrong, you suffer the penalty of the wrong. No difference, he's saying. Verse 4, do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? But after the hardness, in fact, drop on down, we'll keep on going. Look, verse 6, God renders every man according to his deeds. You get exactly what you do for. There's big movement in the earth today that says you don't have to do nothing. That's also heretical. It's also false teaching. Right here it says, He rewards every man according to his deeds. You get rewarded based on what you do. Now, I didn't say you got saved. The cross of Christ provided our salvation for us. You can't do that. But after we are saved, our actions and what we do have their penalties and have their consequences, are their rewards and their blessings. And what he says is, God renders every man according to his deeds. That's why. That's why when I talked about in 2011 and the doctor gave me that cancer scare and that kind of stuff, that's why. That's why that when I went to my prayer room that Wednesday and then that Thursday and was praying and couldn't ask God for healing because it was so funny to think to me that the devil could kill me after I've been praying since 1986 that the Lord God is Jehovah Rapha, the healer of my body. And to think that the devil could come try to kill me now since I've been praying. No, I get rewarded according to my deeds. And my deeds were that I've been praying the Lord's Prayer and believing God for healing. How in the world was the devil going to kill me when I was believing God for healing? It's so funny. I didn't even ask for healing and got it. And so we get rewarded according to our deeds. And if you go on down, look again. Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. So if God gave healing to this little woman that reached up and touched the hem or the border of Christ's garment based on Malachi chapter 4, if she did that, then God will also heal me if I do the same thing. There's no respect of persons with God. Yet how many times have you heard Christians say, well, I don't know why God won't heal me. You're no different than anybody else. You are no different than anyone else. We all receive healing the exact same way through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should never offend God and act like he's better to somebody else than he is to me. Better to someone else than he is to you. Don't do that. That's an offense before God. Because God is no respecter of persons. He treats everybody the same way. If you will do what they did to get what they got, you get it too. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. And there's people in the world that try to make it difficult and hard. And I had a minister tell me this now 3 weeks ago. He said, yeah, but what about so-and-so? And begin to mention people in his family and people in other places. I said, I don't know anybody else's heart, so I can't judge anyone else. But what I can tell you is this, God never lies. And God's not a respecter of person. And if you want to go on all those little rabbit trails and chasing rabbits yourself and make up all these alibis and why you think you didn't get something, why don't you just bow your head before God, repent of your unbelief, and believe God based on what his word says, and go ahead and receive your blessing. Why don't you just do that? I mean, I did it. Other people's done it. You can do the same thing. And some of these people that, it's amazing. Some of these people that fight so much against healing and so much about God doing something, they never received a prayer answered in their life. And trying to tell you and me how we can't get them answered. Well, I serve a prayer answering God. How about you? I do. I serve a God that, I mean, I don't deserve it. You don't either. But based on his grace and his mercy, he has answered a lot of our prayers. Somebody say amen. He does. And he always answers according to what the word of God states that he will do. God's no respecter of persons. So that's the attitude that you take. God's no respecter of persons. Okay, Lord, got this physical condition in my body. Got this thing, suffering, sickness, disease, pain, suffering, whatever it might be. But Lord God, I see where you healed this little woman here. I see where you heal the lepers. I see where you heal the blind folks. I see where you heal the deaf folks. I see where you heal these people that had this condition and that condition. I see where you did that. Lord God, you don't treat them any differently than you treat me. You love me just as much as you love them. And so in the name of Jesus, if they got healing, I get my healing in the name of Jesus. If they receive their healing, I receive mine now in the name of Jesus. And the devil has no place to come into your mind at that point. Well, Leon, the thing is this. Think how much better a Christian you would be that if you suffered with this for a few years, and then after these few years, then, you know, you got healing. Or maybe you never got healing, but you suffered with it a few years, and people could see you standing fast and holding strong during this time and not giving up your faith. Wouldn't that be just such a great blessing for you? I said, they asked me that point blank. I said, well, yeah, it would be, because standing strong in God in the midst of suffering and trials is a good quality. I agree with you. It is a good quality. But let me tell you something better than standing strong before God in trials and tribulation, the persecution, sickness, disease, suffering, pain. Something better than standing strong there is in the midst of that, God comes to your rescue and he heals your body and he lifts you up to absolute health and strength in your life. That's even better than what you said. Amen? And they said, well, what about Lazarus? They said, his sickness was for the glory of God. I said, when? When? I said, have you read the rest of John chapter 11? Oh, yeah, we've read it all. I said, well, you should have looked at the verse that he talked about when he talked about Mary and Martha, and he told them what was happening. And he said this, that he's going to rise again. And he said, I told you, Mary, that if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. She hadn't seen it the whole time Lazarus was dead. But she saw it when he rose again. That's when the glory came. The glory came when he got healed, not because he was sick and suffering. I mean, people try to twist the scriptures and just doubt and unbelief. Anyway, get into the Word of God and stand there. If God healed him, he'll heal me, according to Romans 2:11. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Peter is down and he is preaching at the house of Cornelius. Peter is a person at first that has a little bit of problem. I don't quite say it race, because we think about race just a little bit different than he did. But he sort of got a problem with race. He don't like to eat with Gentiles. If he ain't a Jew, he really don't want to be around you. His best friends are all Jews, and that's who he hangs around. And he loves Jesus because Jesus is a Jew too. But, you know, his disciple, brother, sister, they're Jews as well. And going to Cornelius' house just ain't his bag. He don't want to do that. He hadn't learned Papa got a new bag yet, but he don't want to go there. And God gives us an incredible vision on the housetop, and this vision of all these different kind of foods there. And the Lord tells him to, in this great blanket of foods, he says, rise and kill something and eat it, Peter. And Peter said, not so. I see unclean animals there. I don't eat unclean animals. I am Jewish in my faith. We were taught not to do that under the law of Moses, and we don't do that. We don't do that. Well, it just happens three times. And the Lord tells him every time, Peter, listen to this. What God has cleansed, will you stop calling it unclean? What God has made clean, will you stop calling it unclean? He tells him that three times. Three times. Not quite knowing what it meant, but then the folks from Cornelius show up. They're all Gentiles. They're not of the faith. They're not under the covenant of Moses, under the old covenant law. And they show up, and they get there, and they say, listen, we need you to come down and speak to, you know, Cornelius. He's a good man. He's a devout man. He serves God best he knows how. He didn't know about this new covenant yet. But he's serving the best he knows how. And will you come down and preach to him? He said, well, I'll go. Maybe that's what the vision is saying. He goes down there, and while he is preaching to this crowd of Gentiles, everybody but Jews, while he's preaching to them, what he says is this. He says, you know, I was just preaching, and when I did, the Holy Ghost fell on them, just like us at the beginning. And who was I to withstand God? He said, it was a shock to me too, in other words. But what was I supposed to do? They all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like we did on the day of Pentecost. They did too. Here in Acts chapter 10, several years later, they did too. And from that, he gave us this saying, verse 10 and chapter 10 of Acts and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. So you've got it from Paul in Romans 2, and you've got it from Peter in the book of Acts. God is no respecter of persons. And so away with this kind of thinking that God would do something for this little woman here that had to issue blood, but he won't do it for me. I guess God's just got another plan for me. I guess God just, you know, wants to see me suffer. I just, God gets more glory out of it. You know, away with all of that. Away with all the thinking of man and all the things that the devil has fed in our world full of doubt and unbelief. And believe what the Bible says. God's no respecter of persons. If God healed this woman, he'll heal me. If God fill those Gentiles right there with the Holy Spirit, he'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. If God's going to judge me for my deeds, like in the book of Romans, he'll judge me just like he did them, according to Paul. God's no respecter of persons. Everybody say, God is no respecter of persons. He loves everybody just the same. He loves us all. He loves every one of us. And he'll do for every one of us the same thing that he will do for any one of us if we simply obey what the Word of God has given us. There's no respect. And so when you come down to that issue and you're battling those things in your body, and your body's screaming out at you in pain and all this kind of stuff, you just need to stand on the Word of God. This is what God says. God will heal me just like he will this woman right here. The devil said, well, you know, you didn't live in the days of Jesus. Yeah, I do. Jesus is alive right now today. How many believes he's alive? Say amen. Our whole faith is built on that he is alive. He has risen from the dead. So I got a living Lord. She had a living Lord. I got one. Same way. She acted on the word of God in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. I'm acting on the word of God. Same thing. I'm receiving. She's receiving. We all can receive together. You can receive. All right, let's bump it forward. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. In Mark 5 and 27, it says this. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in to press behind and touched his garments. Now, she touched his garments after she came in the crowd of people, the press, behind him to get to him. But before she did any of that, before she ever touched him, before she got in the midst of the crowd, before she ever got close to Jesus, she heard of him. Everybody say, heard. She heard of Jesus. Now, there's no doubt that she could have been hearing all kind of things. For the last 12 years, going to all these doctors, taking all these different kind of medicines, doing all these kind of procedures, whatever they were, sure, I'll give it a try. If it make me better, yeah. That's what she's been doing for 12 years. She's heard of a lot of stuff. And in the midst of the lot of stuff she's heard of Jesus. And you and I might be in that same place this morning. We might have heard all kind of things in our life. And some of those things have to be changed in your life of what you've heard. My dad was born in 1929. And if we know much about 1929, we understand that the stock market crashed. And that was just a crash day. It was only like 330-something points. It didn't crash much compared to what we're at today, inflation. But for the next 10 years, from 29 to 39, that was that depression era. And so he was born and raised in that. And he always had a whole lot of difficulty. A whole lot of difficulty to the point of just not doing it, of receiving blessings in his life. I remember a number of years ago that Sheila and I, I bought him a guitar for Father's Day. And I just wanted to do something special for him. This was a number of years ago. He had a guitar, Gibson guitar, but it had went through a fire that we had at our house in 1973. And it was blackened and burned up. It was awful. You could probably still strum out of tune. And my dad was a very good picker. He could pick with all of his fingers. He was good. And he played a little bit on it. But, you know, I wanted him to have a good one. And so Sheila and I, we went and bought him a Gibson guitar. And like he had, but it was a newer one. But, you know, it's not real expensive. It was a little chunk of money, but not really. About $2,200, about $2,200, I think it was. And I brought it and I gave it to him. And he looked at it. He said, this is great. This is wonderful. But what do you do this for? I said, we just want to give you a good guitar. Because I know you sit around here, you're by yourself, you want to play. And we want you to have a good guitar. He said, I don't know if I can play this thing or not. I said, it's got six strings on it, just like the one you had. It just ain't burned up. And it's got a mellow tone to it. And it's shining and sparkling. It's got them gold tunic. I mean, it looks nice. I don't know. This is too nice for me, son. And I said, no. If we give it to you, we think you're nice enough to have it. He just couldn't get over that. And it was probably a year or so later, he gave it to AJ. Because it was too good for him. He couldn't have a guitar that good. And sometimes we battle things like that. We hear that the world's told us this and told us that and told us this and told us that. And you just can't never get out of there. This woman hears of Jesus after 12 years of it ain't going to happen. 12 years of this doctor and that doctor, this medicine, that medicine. She finally hears of Jesus. Sometimes when what you're doing is not working, you have to look for something different than what you've been doing. Look for something new in your life. And when I approach you this morning, I tell you that there ain't no difference in you than anybody else. God loves you the same as he does anyone else. And if you heal this woman, he'll heal you. If there's things battling in your mind against that, then say, hey, I think I'm going to listen to Jesus. Let's go around. I think I'm going to listen to what he said in the book of Romans chapter 2:11 and in Acts 10:34. I think I'm going to listen. I think I'm going to hear that. Mind, I think you're just going to have to change. I think you're going to have to be renewed. I think you're going to have to do away with doubt and unbelief in your life, and you're going to have to go toward the truth of the gospel. That's what happens when we renew our mind. And if we never do that, in various issues of our life, if we never will stay the same place in whatever problems and circumstances of life that we have, and none of us want to stay there, and that's certainly not where God wants us to be. Expression in the old timer, you say, come on up a little higher. Everybody say, come on up. Say a little higher. Say it again. Say, come on up a little higher. One more time. Say, come on up a little higher. Come on up. Come on. I want to go all the way. How about you? Amen. All right, so God's no respecter of persons. And what he is doing now is, notice this, she is hearing from him, hearing from Jesus. She's listening to him. Got to make that decision. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. In your mind and mine, when we approach this word and we find something in the Bible that is different than what my mind or your mind thinks, you have to come to the conclusion, Leon, you're just wrong, boy. Oh, you're just wrong. Because you're going to have to believe what the Word of God says. And if it goes against your tradition, if it goes against your historic upbringing, if it goes, you're just going to have to quit believing it. You're going to have to stop it. You got to stop it. You're going to make it. And so Leon's made his decision. I'm hoping all of us are making ours this morning. We're going to believe what the Word of God says. And regardless, somebody says, you understand everything about it? No. I don't know any man or woman on planet Earth that understands everything about God. We're moving that direction. We want to, but no, we don't fully comprehend everything about God. But regardless of that, I have enough to understand that God's no respecter of persons. If he loved one person, he'll love me too. If he did something for her, he'll do it for me. If he healed her, he'll heal. That's all right now. If that's the only place I'm at, that's enough right there to get me started on my healing journey. And so the other things, we'll understand it better by and by, okay, when we get there. But right now, I understand that. I know that. I'm not going to discount that from God. And so we're hearing what Jesus has said. So you have to open your ears. Remember the CB days years ago? We used to say what? When you pull up that microphone, what'd you say? Hello, have you got your ears on? I think that is a New Living Translation quote from the book of Revelation, because seven times God asked the churches in Revelation, let him that have ears to hear, hear. In other words, do you have your ears on? Okay. Romans 10:17. Here it is, the classic verse of Scripture. If you know it, fine, you can quote it, but turn there and read it so you can see it. So it'll be God and not me, not you, not your mind, not this preacher, that preacher, but God is saying. This is what God is saying. In Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Notice we read about the little woman. She heard of Jesus. She heard something. And now we find that faith comes by hearing. When you hear something, the more you hear it, the more you will believe it. In fact, if you hear something one time, you may not even believe it at all. You ever heard something one time and say, well, I don't believe that. You heard it one time. And then when you begin to listen to it again, and you studied it out, and you thought it out, and you meditated about it, and you stayed in the Word of God, you say, you know what? I think they were telling me the truth. I said that about Dave Ramsey for a long time. When Dave Ramsey were telling me I was a fool for borrowing money, I said, Dave, you don't know how it is. You know how it is to live, been raised in Watts Mills, South Carolina, and grow up poor all your life. You don't understand that, Dave. You're just a rich guy out there trying to tell me how to do what you've done, and it won't work for me because you're a rich guy, and you don't understand what it is for a poor guy. But I kept listening, and I kept hearing, and I kept hearing. And I finally came to the place, Dave is right, Leon's wrong. When I came to that reality that Dave was right and Leon was wrong, I stopped borrowing money. When I stopped borrowing money, then I paid off all my debt. When I paid all my debt off, then I became wealthy. It didn't happen until I made that journey. And none of that happened until I believed what God had said through, this time, Dave Ramsey's lips. You're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to hear, and I'm going to keep hearing, and 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 listen, and listen, and hear, and listen, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it again and again and again. And as you do that, you'll begin to believe it. And as you begin to believe it, you'll begin to act on it. And when you act on it, you'll bring in the law of sowing and reaping, that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, and it will become a reality in your life. That's the simple process of just how it works to get everything that God said in his word that you and I can have. You have to come to that place of hearing. And so if you're going to receive biblical healing, God's way, through Jesus Christ, you're going to have to fill yourself with the Word of God. It is not going to happen for you. Not going to happen for you. You just say, yeah, I believe that, and let's go on to the next thing. It's not going to happen for you until that word becomes a reality in your life. It has to become so real that you don't say things like, yeah, but the doctor said this. You won't say that. What you'll say when the doctor says something, yeah, but God said this. You put it in reverse. You don't
go to the doctor and he gives you some bad news, then you go tell nobody what the doctor said about the bad news. What you do is this: when you got the good news on the inside of you and the doctor does give you that bad news, then you say, yeah, but God said this. This is what God said. I'm believing what God said. I am believing absolutely what the Lord said, because that's what you're filled in, your life. It become the abundance of your life. And what has happened here is this: this woman has heard of Jesus. He's a healer. He loves people. He goes about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God is with him. She's heard that. She's heard that. And it's changed her thinking. She didn't go back to the doctor. She didn't go back to the medicine. 12 years with enough of that. She did all she needed. Then now she goes to Jesus because she has heard about him. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. This is a very, very, very important part. In Luke chapter 5, look at verse 12. Luke 5 and verse 12. I'll give you a little story. What you have to understand is this. What I'm talking about this morning is the way all of us can receive healing from the Lord. Every one of us can. This is basically hearing the promises of God, believing the promises of God, acting on the promise of God, and receiving the promises of God. It's a simple process. It's not hard. And this is how we receive. This is how most all Christians receive their healing. But what most people think is that what you do is you go and you simply make a prayer to God, and then bam, all of a sudden you were healed. I mean, the skies where it was dark, they became light. The wind stopped blowing. There was a calm. All of a sudden, bam, it's just gone. I just healed in an instant of time. What you're referring to there is a miracle. That's a miracle. What I'm referring to here is healing. Healing. Miracles happen instantaneous. On the spot. Bam! You've got it. There's a miracle there. Healings happen as you believe God in faith and you see it happen. You got cut before. I mean, you didn't look down and all of a sudden, hey, I'm not bleeding anymore. No, you bleed for a minute or two and then maybe your blood clotted up, or unless you've been taking those aspirin like the doctor tells you to, then it goes forever. But anyway, then your blood clots up, and finally you look down there, and you see a little bit out there, a little fresh blood, and then all of a sudden the next day, blood's gone. There's a little scab there. Then two or three days later, the scab's gone, and you look down, and it's gone. Right, you're healed. That's a healing. That didn't happen, bam, like that. It happened just a little time. That's how most people in Bible days and in our days receive our healing, is through that healing process. Can a miracle happen? Yes. Have miracles happen? Yes. Do they happen every day for saints of God? Probably not. But they can. I hope and I pray I don't ever need a miracle again. Because if I ever need a miracle, that means I got a real big problem, right? If I need a miracle, I need time and science and the laws of this way this world works suspended so the miracle can take place. That's what a miracle is. It suspends all of the laws of anything you know anything about, and something phenomenal happens. That's miracle. That's miracle. And if you want to enter into that miraculous land, you know, there's prayer and fasting like 40 days that Jesus did will get you there in that realm for yourself. You want to enter in that realm for other people, then there's gifts of the Spirit that get you there. You have to understand the difference in a miracle and a healing. This is healing works for everybody. Everybody. Well, I want the miracle. Well, fine. Find someone that has a gift of miracles working in their life, and you can receive a miracle. I'll tell you a story. This happened in 1956. It was in Florence, South Carolina, in 1956. Imagine, go back then. Go back to 1956. Not as much interstates as you see right now. Different things, not as many cars on the road as are now. Different things are happening. But we're in Florence, South Carolina, 1956. And what you're doing, you're driving down that way with you and your family, and you're needing a touch from God. And you're headed that way. And as you get there, you get about 20 miles outside of Florence. And when you get there, you're looking, and for some strange reason, there's a lot more traffic on the road than you've ever seen there before. And the closer you get to Florence, it becomes bumper-to-bumper traffic when you get there. And when you get up just a few miles outside of Florence, you're seeing the highway patrol are out there, and policemen are out there. And they're directing traffic and this kind of stuff. And you come to a snail's crawl. It's 1956, and you haven't got to your destination in Florence yet. But finally, you pull up out there to the fairgrounds out there. And you look over in the fairgrounds. You see where the lights are sort of lighting up the heavens around you. And you're looking around, and you look, and you see in the distance right there. And you see this green structure that is out there. And you look at it, and it looks like a tent. And you get closer, and it is a tent. And it's a tent that seats 50,000 people. 50,000 people in this tent. And as you get closer to that tent, as you get on the outside, you notice people getting out of their cars and start walking in those tents. And all of a sudden, somebody that was walking in that tent outside, they begin to holler and scream that they got healed. They got healed of something. And then they go inside of the tent and they begin preaching and teaching and praise and worship, and they're singing their songs. And during the singing the song, a couple hundred people all over the tent of 50,000, a couple hundred people, nobody's even asked. And all of a sudden, they pop loose with healings like you wouldn't believe all over the place. And finally, the minister begins to preach, and as he does, thousands then begin to get healed. And then he begins to pray the prayer of faith, and you see incredible miracles, and blinded eyes are open. People are walking that couldn't walk, and talking that couldn't talk. And what you realize is this, that a man that God is using by the name of Oral Roberts came to that place, and God had given him the gift of miracles, and he exercised it. And it was a powerful explosion of the power of God operating through the gift of miracles there. And if you've got the gift of miracles, or you find somebody that's got it, you can receive those, bam, instantaneous things happen. But if you don't, this is the way that works for everybody. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want to see America return to those revival days. How about you? Amen. Somebody say amen. I do. God is a real God. But that's not the kind of prayer that I'm praying when I'm praying for healing. When I'm praying for healing in my own body, I'm standing on the Word of God, believing God, trusting God, praying in the name of Jesus, an audience with the Father God, and believing God to touch my need in my life. And when I do that prayer and I stand on the Word, thank you, Lord God, I've got it. I have it. Whether you see it or not, whether I experience it, means nothing to me. I'm standing on the Word of Almighty God. And as I confess the Word about it, and as I speak the Word, and my actions conform to that, I see that healing and that miracle take place in my life. That's exactly what happened to me 2 weeks ago now. It's exactly how I cut down a 4 to 8 week healing process down to less than 3 days. That's how. It wasn't a miracle, but it was a healing. Now, Look in Luke chapter 5. Let me get this and we'll wrap it up here. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 12. What you see here is a story. It came to pass that in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. Hey, God's no respecter of persons. Everybody say amen. Amen. And if God healed this man of leprosy, he will heal you of leprosy. Say amen. Right? See? When he asked him, he said, if you will, you'll make me clean. And he said, I will. Away with this stuff, praying for, Lord God, if it be your will, heal me. Of course, it's his will to heal you. If it's not his will to heal you, why did he send Jesus to the cross and say, point blank in Isaiah and 2 Peter, why did he say point blank that by his stripes that he got on the cross, you're healed? If it wasn't his word to heal me, then why did he say that? And I had this other group of doubters and unbelievers in the ministerial association, so to speak, talk to me a few weeks ago about the same stuff. They said, well, you know, you got to pray if it be by the will. I said, well, you take medicine? Oh, yeah. You go to doctors? Oh, yeah. You get surgeries? Yeah. Did you ask God if it's his will for it to go there? Well, no. Why not? You might be going against the will of God. I mean, this stuff is so ridiculous. Unreal, unreal. Look what it says, verse 13. I will be clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from there. You see this gift of miracles happen. There it was. Jesus is walking in all 9 gifts of the Spirit according to Acts 10:38. Okay, and verse 14. And he charged him and said, don't go tell anybody, but show yourself to the priest. Offer to Moses the commandment for the testimony. Go do what you're supposed to do. And verse 15. And so much the more they went out of fame abroad about him, and great multitudes came together to hear. Everybody say hear. And to be healed. Everybody say, be healed. Now, you know what? Without being the sharpest blade in the drawer or the smartest guy on the block, I still got sense enough to know they heard before they were healed. Is that right? They came to do what? Came to, everybody say, hear and to be healed. They came what? They came to do what? To hear and then what? They came to what? Hear and then be healed. You mean hear first, then be healed? That's what that woman did. She was there hearing. She had heard of Jesus, then she came. She heard, then she came. There has to be this input in your life of hearing. If not, you're still walking around with what the world's giving you, full of doubt and unbelief. I don't know if God healed me or not. I don't know if God do anything. I just don't know.
If he wants to do it, just let him do it. It's up to God. He'll do it when he gets good and ready, I guess. I don't want to push God and all this kind of stuff.
And it's crazy. A lady accused me of that as well. She said, well, you're just trying to nudge to push God. I said, I ain't trying to push God into nothing. I'm trying to push Leon into believing what God's already said. I ain't pushing God. It's me I'm pushing, not him. And so they came first to hear and be healed. So you had to put in that quality time of hearing. If you think about it, if you spent all of this time listening to your body tell you, you're sick, you're going to die, you got pain, you're sick, you're going to die, you got pain, you're sick, you're going to die, you got pain, you're sick, you're going to die, you got pain, and your body tells you that, and it's hurting you, and it's got racket against you, and that, and you get on the internet and look, so it says, yeah, you're sick and die, and you're going to get, you know, all the stuff. The internet tells you that. I know, because I looked it on the internet, they'll say. And you do that, and you talk to somebody, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, Liam, but my cousin has exactly what you got, and they died about 2 weeks later. Lord, help you. We're praying for you, though. Pray for me for a far, far off, way off. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. They'll say, like, you've been hearing all that. You turn on the news. I don't know why it is. At our house, we have a YouTube Prime and this kind of stuff and Charter cable stuff on there. And they advertise in all these medications and prescriptions and stuff about every other 10 minutes they want me to take something. Do y'all get those? And then they call me up on the phone begging me to do it. I mean, it's incredible what they do. And so there's a world of people out there that's telling you, you can't have it, it don't work, you just accept it, stay with it. If God wants you healed, he'd heal you in the first place. We don't tell that people about people, you know, wanting to be saved. You ever notice that? Somebody, old boy, be down here in the beer joint somewhere, and he's running around on his wife with this woman in there with three teeth. And so he's inside the beer joint out there running around on his wife. We don't go down there and tell him, well, just stay here until God saves you. No, get out of that beer joint, boy. Go home to your wife. Don't blow all your money on this woman. You got kids at home. Get out of here. Amen? Amen. Well, why do they say that about people who are sick? Well, you just have to bear it, you know. Well, yeah, you're going to have to bear it till you get healed, but you don't have to bear it because of God. No, the Bible says, He bore our sickness and disease on the cross in Isaiah 53. That's what he did. He did it, Matthew 8, 7. He did it. I don't have to do it if he did it. I'd be foolish to do it if he did it. If I went down to the grocery store and got a loaf of bread, and they said, well, Leon, this bread's already paid for. I said, really? Who's paid for it? They said, well, your son AJ came by, and he paid for it for you. He did? Wasn't that great of him? He paid my bread. Well, okay, here. And I put my money in. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm paying for my bread. They said, why are you paying for it again? Because it's my bread. I got to pay for it. No. So why am I, you know, going to let sickness and disease reign in my body when Jesus already let it reign in his body on the cross? And through that event, he brought healing to me. Well, he bore once. I need not bear twice. See, if I'm bearing it, I'm bearing it a second time because he didn't got it once. Me makes two. I'm not making it two. I'm not. I was an accountant for 70 years, but that's where I stopped my addition and subtraction right there. I'm not making it two. We're believing. Notice they came to hear and be healed. Last verse. You're right there in Luke chapter 5. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke 6 and verse 17, he came down with them, stood in the plain, accompanied the disciples, a great multitude of people, all of Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast to Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. Notice one more time. They came to hear him and to be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear him and be healed. Not be healed, then hear him. Hear him first and be healed. Sheila has an internet bookstore. AJ helps us a little bit with that, not much anymore, but she has one. And she has a number of authors that have created healing CDs. Remember what CDs are? And you can get them downloads now. But MP3, whatever. Healing CDs. And it's just speaking the word of God and reading it. Nothing else. No real commentary. Just the word of God over and over and over again. Well, Pastor, I've already heard it one time. Well, did you get your blessing yet? Well, no, not yet. Keep listening. Keep listening. It hurts when I do this, Doc. Doc says, well, don't do that. You come back the next time, Doc, it's still hurting. You still doing it? Yeah, I'm still doing it. Go back and quit doing it. Don't have anything else more for you until you stop doing it. And the same thing with healing. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep hearing and hearing. Whenever I listen to things like that, I hear them, and my, do I thank God. I thank God for faithful men and women who've gone before me, who've left me something like that, the scriptures put together that I can listen to and hear them. I thank God for them. But I listen to it till it no longer their voice. When I love Brother Hagin, of course, I've heard him say it many thousands of times in my life. And I'll listen to him read a verse of scriptures. And you know what? I love Brother Hagin. I do. But Brother Hagin understands. Brother Hagin, I'm not listening to you any longer. I'm hearing the word of God that comes out of your mouth. When I hear Brother Hagin say it, I'm hearing God say it. When he's reading that verse of scripture, I'm hearing it. Glory Copeland put out a book several years ago, and it's got numbers of verses of scripture all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and four or five different translations for each verse that goes through. And I was reading it the other day, and I said, well, thank you, Gloria, for putting this out. I love you, Gloria. You know I do. I love you and Ken. I really do probably like you a little bit better than Ken just to listen to. Anyway, but I love you both. Love you both. I love you both. But, Gloria, when I'm reading your book that you put down, it ain't you anymore, Gloria. I'm reading God's word. I'm hearing it, and I'm hearing it, and I'm hearing it. Gloria didn't tell it to me. Kenneth Hagin didn't tell it to me. Fred Price didn't tell it to me. T.L. Osborne, as much as I love him, he didn't tell it to me. No, God told it to me. You have to hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you hear, until it's God speaking to you. And when it becomes God speaking to you, you begin to get realities in your life of what that promise of Scripture is promising you in your life. It begins to happen in your life. Hear first, be healed second. Hear first, be healed. I'd be doing you wrong if I told you a little bit different. But when I talked about that miracle ministry Roberts had back in the early, I'm not talking about latter ministry now, but his early ministry that he had, when I talked about that, do you know to get prayed for that night on stage that you had to get a prayer card? Do you know that you got that prayer card during the day service where somebody else would teach you the word of God for you to hear and teach you how to receive the word of God and how to receive healing? Before you ever got on the platform that night, you had to have the day. So even in the midst of that miracle ministry, hear and be healed. Do you know that Jesus in his own hometown could do not much there because he kept saying, hey, you the carpenter's son. We see a lot of flesh here. That's all we say. And the flesh was there. No denying it. The flesh was there. Jesus was there in the flesh. But they was not hearing God that was coming forth from his mouth. And what the Bible said that he did, he could there do no mighty works, save he laid a hand on a few sick folk and healed them. That was it. That's all he could do. Just a few. You know why? Because only a few would believe and get past the flesh of Jesus and his mom and his dad and his brothers, as they called it, were all around his family. They had to get past that first. And what did Jesus do in the book of Mark chapter 6? It goes on to say, he went forth teaching. The cure for unbelief is teaching. Why teaching? Because when you're teaching the word of God, you're hearing. You know what? If we stayed right here, I'm about to let you out. But if we stayed right here and I just stayed on this and kept on going, somewhere in the rest of this afternoon and into this evening and maybe into this night, people start popping up, like, yo, God, just heal me. It's 10:30 at night. My God, the word of God just hit me and healed me. The continuous hearing of the word of God will bring faith in your life and you'll get a reality of it. How many believes it? Say amen. How many wants to say 10:30 at night? Say amen. All right, okay, you said it, I didn't. Stand up with me this morning, let's go before the Lord. Amen. Amen, God. Well, they met one day a week. At least they had to be out by midnight, I guess. I don't know. That'd be one day a week. But God is good to us. Father God, Lord God, we love you. We give you praise and glory. We honor you. God, thank you, Lord God, because you are so much more, Lord God, than we ever could be in our own lives. You have so much for any of us, Lord God, and all of us. And you love us all just the same. Because, Lord God, if you didn't, I don't think I could live good enough for you. I don't think I could perform the great enough task, Lord God, to merit your love. I know I couldn't. But through your grace and mercy, you love us all the same. And so, Father God, let in our hearts and our lives today, that reality sink within us, oh, Lord God. You're not trying to punish us or penalize us or hurt us or do anything bad to us. And all you want for us is good. And, Lord God, let that reality become ours. Let it become so much in our heart and our life that we just refuse to accept anything in this world that the devil would try to bring against us. You are a good God, Almighty God. And we love you.
Let us not believe the lies that the world has said about you and the lies that some religious folks have said about you. Let us believe the truth of who you are. Let us believe what the Bible teaches about you. And Lord God, not to go astray. Lift your hands toward heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Father, I love you. I thank you so much for sending Jesus to do for me what I could never do for myself. I see your love just for me. And Lord God, look into my heart, my life, and into my mind, my thinking, anything in me that is not like you, not like Jesus, not in accord with the Word of God, wash me of it. Purge me of it. Cleanse me of doubt and unbelief and fear and failure. Cleanse me, Almighty God. Wash me clean so that all that is left is perfect love and perfect faith extended toward you. My one and only Lord God Almighty, to whom I give all praise and all glory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah! Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Love you today.
Glory. Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.